This is Stacey Marshall with Printwear Magazine.
Matt Vassallo with TheRhinestoneWorld.com.
Richard Greaves with ScreenMaking.com.
Brian Walker with RTP Apparel.
This is Peter Walsh with M&R, and you're listening to the Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Podcast.
Hosted by
Terry Combs.
And
Aaron Montgomery.
Aaron Montgomery.
Keep on listening.
I don't know if these guys are that regular.
Music by Mike Clark and Bird Room Music. For more information, visit birdroommusic.com.
All right. Well, welcome into the show. It is Friday, August 20th, 2021. I'm Terry Combs. You can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at oursuccessgroup.com. Terry, today we're going to be talking to Katie Wubin from Trouble Me Not, and she's going to be joining us to talk about changes to your business. So her business has had some dramatic changes, as most people's have over the COVID pandemic time here. But she's added a lot of things, done a lot of things, made a lot of really great changes for the better. So we want to talk to her about that process and kind of the challenges that came along with that and how she managed it all. And just to hopefully share some tips with you guys about how to navigate a changing landscape. So excited about that. Speaking of changes, Terry, I'm standing today, so I was warning the guys beforehand that you know, if I start cramping or whatever, just, you know, the show must go on.
Drink fluids. Yeah. But not too many fluids. We have an hour.
Okay. All right, just enough water to keep me from so we're excited. Terry, we've got some, and the comments are a long ways away from me today, so we'll see how I do. But we've got Michelle checking in, and we've got Christine saying good morning. So excited Katie is on your show today, although I'm bummed that you got her on your show before I got her on mine. We'll share. She's plenty of Katie. She's a fantastic person, and so I'm sure she'll come on your show too. Todd, good morning. Ramona, good morning. We've got Gusta checking in. Thanks everybody for being here this morning. Terry, let's see here. Jinx, you owe me a soda. All right, there we go. Yes, there we go. Thank you. Todd says, I'm waiting for Aaron to give us a weather report. Yes, today it's sunny. All right. So Terry, kind of news, not necessarily news, but yeah, news for me. One of the reasons that I'm standing here is that we're all set up for our workshop that we're doing this afternoon called Breaking Through Limiting Beliefs. And it's happening this afternoon at 2 o'clock Eastern time, or 1 o'clock Central, or noon Mountain time, or 11 a.m. Pacific time, or whatever time it is in Terry's place there. Is it Pacific time right now? So you're at 11. You'd be 11.
We are Mountain Standard Time. Oh, God, so now Eric is Mountain Time, but he's Mountain Daylight Time. So because, well, do I have to repeat it again? Arizona, we don't do daylight saving times. We choose not to participate. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking. We choose not to participate.
Thanks, but no thanks. Yes.
Because we live in a desert. We don't need another hour of sunshine. Thank you.
There we go. Just like, where's the other part of Terry's famous saying there? I love that one. All right. And so anyhow, that's happening at those times today. And there still is time to sign up. If you'd like, check that out. Breaking Through Limiting Beliefs workshop. And for you regulators out there, if you use the code OSG, you'll save $20. So if you go to oursuccessgroup.com/beliefs, you can register and come join us in the Zoom workshop online today. Again, use that code OSG to save $20. So it makes it $29. Just need $29 an hour of your time.
Aaron, your discount code should be, yeah, you know me. OSG, yeah, you know me.
When GSG did that at the last DAX show, Terry, since you weren't there, I did.
You shouted it out?
Not yes. Quite as loud as you do, but yes, I did audibly say, yeah, you know me. yeah, so Dale says, shouldn't that be Mountain Substandard Time, Terry?
Ouch. Sub-Sahara.
Sub-Sahara. All right. And I see Jeff and Adam are checking in. Hello, gentlemen. Good to see you. All right. So that's little news for me. Again, wanted to share that with everybody. Still time to register. Love to have you participate. It's going to be great. Something we're going to do regularly. But I think that you'll be able to get the most out of it, like by getting that put into place right now. It's been a huge breakthrough for me in my life personally. So it's just, and for Kylie, my wife. And so we really wanted to share this. So we're going to start trying to do that workshop monthly at different times so we get everybody there. So
is Kylie right, in the green room? Kylie in the green room right now waiting for the show to start?
So actually, she is actually at a hair appointment getting all done up, right? So
I see you did yours already.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is as good as I get. So
you've already been to hair and makeup.
You guys got what you got, so deal with it.
Well, Aaron, I've got an interesting news item, and thanks to you for bringing this, posting this to me last night, I guess. Yeah. So somebody who's been on our show before with a different name badge on, industry sales and events, a veteran, Josh Carruth, is joining Printing United Alliance as the Apparel Community Managing Director. So Printing United Alliance has announced the appointment of apparel industry veteran Josh Carruth to Managing Director, Apparel Community. In this role, Josh is responsible for the growth and support of all apparel-related programs and membership initiatives at Printing United Alliance. And Josh will oversee the apparel zone, which will be right next to us, Aaron, at Printing United. And it is a working micro factory on the show floor. And we got the big scoop on that last week and by Ray Weiss. And so that's quite an interesting change that Josh has joined Printing United. And for anybody who doesn't know, the Printing United Expo is going to be in Orlando, October 6th through 8th at the Orange County Convention Center. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, Terry, the lots of new faces, well, not new faces, faces we've known in the industry joining Printing United, actually. Not only Josh, but several other people. I haven't seen official releases on them, so I'm not going to share right now who they are because I don't know if it's public knowledge yet.
Was that a personal email or was that two regular guys email?
I almost just shared it and I'm like, I probably should be a little bit more professional. Right. You know, so,
you know, Aaron, I got one of those emails and my response was, hey, listen, you know, I don't actually buy the booth space for Equipment Zone. You need to reach out to Harry. And it was like, yeah, it's not about that.
Gotcha. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah, well, you'll see a bunch of new to Printing United faces in Orlando, but not new to the industry. So they are making a big push to really make sure that they're serving the apparel community, the garment and personalization world. So look for some really cool, fun stuff happening over at Printing United. So
check those name tags.
Yep, exactly. Like, wait, who are you with? Okay, good. So, let's see here. What do we got in the comments real quick, Terry? Kelly, good day. Hello. The Crystal Ninja joining us. It's always great to have ninjas in our midst, Terry. That's always fun. And then Cindy says, good morning. It's been a Friday. All day Friday. All right.
But then it's been a Friday is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Terry, what else do we got going on in news-wise or things happening there?
Yeah, well, Aaron, you know, early on in COVID, we were giving weekly or biweekly updates on trade shows and things like that. So now we've got more COVID confusion with the Delta variant. So the three of us talked about, let's start reaching out to all the trade show folks and getting updates for their upcoming events. So as I mentioned, Ray Weiss with Printing United, he gave us the Orlando update last week. So I reached out to the other three major industry trade show folks and got some responses. And as I mentioned before, Aaron, Eric, and myself are going to be at the Two Regular Guys booth at Printing United. And we will be right by the apparel zone. And so we'll get to see Josh with his new name tag up close and personal. But make sure you stop by and say hello to us. And we'll have our recorders ready to do a little bit of trade show recording. But Aaron, Jamar Laster with Impressions Expo, we gave a little teaser on this last week. But he wanted to update us all on the new health and safety plan for Atlantic City. It has changed since he came on the podcast last, and they have sent out emails to the community. But basically, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, you are required to wear face masks at all New Jersey state-owned buildings, which includes the Atlantic City Convention Center. So And he said, special note, public indoor spaces include exhibit halls, meeting rooms, and lobbies. So basically, wherever you are at Impressions Expo Atlantic City, you need to be wearing a mask. And for anybody that doesn't know, Impressions Expo Atlantic City is next week, August 26th through 28th. And Jamar sent along the health and safety page for the Atlantic City website, from the Atlantic City website, and Eric has it up on the screen right now. But bottom line is you need to wear a mask.
Exactly. Exactly. So, check that out at bit.ly/expo safe.
And if it's not a decorated mask, we here at Two Regular Guys are going to be severely disappointed in you. So,
correct. Yeah. If you need a decorated mask, please reach out. I can take care of you. I've got a basement full, so a mask ready to be decorated. All right. So, Terry, the next one you got for us was Scott Ritter with the DAX show. And here's what he had to say. He says, we're looking forward to a great show at DAX Chicagoland. And attendance has surged in the last 2 weeks to the point where we've had to make arrangements in the floor plan to accommodate a larger than expected crowd. We're even seeing people register from New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So they're coming from further away than typically. But if you're worried about traveling to a larger city right now, it's good to know that DAX show venue is located on I-80, just southwest of Chicago metro area. For almost anybody attending, there is no need to go through Chicago to get to the very safe, friendly, and upscale suburb of Tinley Park, where it's located. The convention center has installed a new air handling system, making it one of the first convention facilities in the country to have a negative pressure event space, with the air in the exhibit hall being exchanged with outside air several times an hour. At this moment, there are no mask mandates or other restrictions on events in Tinley Park. So that's the report from DAX, and that's coming up here 27th, 28th, I believe. Is
right, right. Basically overlapping with the show in New Jersey, which is kind of funny that somebody from New Jersey is going to the DAX show in Chicago when there's a show in Atlantic City at the exact same time. But hey, and I will be going through Chicago because I am flying into O'Hare. So O'Hare being on the north, Tinley Park being on the south. So
it's probably going to be as long of a drive for you from O'Hare than it is for me from St. Louis. So.
I think it's about a 45-minute Uber. So anyway, the last one we have is Dave Pomeroy from Graphics Pro Expo reached out. And Dave says that Graphics Pro Expo Long Beach, which was last week, he says, no hyperbole here, our best attended event yet this year. And I think they've had two previous, maybe three, I don't remember now. But he said, all 3 days of the show were quite busy. We had nearly everyone who was there from MBM. MBM, I think that was a typo on his part, since they are now Graphics Pro Expo, NBM being the previous name, National Business Media. But I copied and pasted. This wasn't me. He said everybody working there at Graphics Pro Expo was pitching in at the badge pickup and anything they could do to get the lines moving. LA County had a mask mandate in effect, just like we're talking about for New Jersey. But they found exhibitors and attendees to be very cooperative. Everyone was there to do business, and this didn't slow down things a bit. Remaining GPX events for 2021 are Pittsburgh, September 24th and 25th, Charlotte, October 29th and 30th. And Dave says we hope to see everyone there. So that's our wrap up of, and we're going to try to do this every couple of weeks to keep everybody informed. If you're trying to make plans to go to a show, we'll try to keep you updated on what's happening for each of these events.
Yes. Excellent. Great work, Terry. Thanks for running all that down. And it's exciting that things are still progressing. You know, like you said, there's some confusion. There's lots of different chatter here and there, but so far nobody's talking about any cancellations or anything like that.
Correct. And unfortunately, last time around when we were doing these announcements, that we about half of our announcements was, okay, now this show is officially canceled. That show is officially canceled.
Find some wood to knock on, please, Terry. Let's not do that this time around. Let's do it the other way. Announce exactly. How the great excitement of everybody being together. All right, yeah. Terry, we've got Katie waiting in the wings here. So let's get to that as quickly as we can here. But I know the regulators want a dad joke. I just feel it today. I feel like they really desire a dad joke, right? Right, Christine? Wink, wink. All right, I got one for you, Terry. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready. Let's hear it.
All right. So I've written a book about sandpaper.
You
it's
have?
It's a work of friction.
That sounds like a joke I should have read.
Well, my dad has actually started sending daily puns out to his email list that I happen to be on. So that one came from his daily pun email from a couple days ago. So there you
nice.
Go. Nice. what did Todd say there? After? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Todd bringing up at Dax Tinley Park on Friday night, they do a party. Dax does a party. But then after that party, so the after party is going to be over at Buffalo Wild Wings across the street, at kind of a OSG two regular guys kind of get together gathering. So that 2 years ago when it was at Tinley Park was kind of where our success group was born as an idea. And so from there, we're going to have a little kind of celebration. So we'll have,
who knows what's going to happen this year?
Yeah. Who knows? Something cool and big is going to come from this year, I'm sure. So, all right.
Plus wings and beer.
Exactly. What else we got here? Letty, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. See, here's what I love about Letty is always bringing in the follow-up to the dad joke. Grit your teeth. That was rough. Sandpaper joke. I love it. All right. Let's see. Dale says, Aaron is promoted to Captain Conundrum. Carbonundrum? Oh, boy.
Carbonundrum? you guys can't see Eric, but he's shaking his head.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much the thing that we see most of Eric down there in the corner when we the rest of you can't see him. Just shaking his head.
And then Christine says, I was going to say not all the regulators, but at least one that could do without them. All right.
Not
Todd,
our fault.
What do you got here? I don't know if I should read Todd's. What do we got here? That was not a smooth joke at all. All right. So now we've gone completely off the rails.
Maybe it was fine sandpaper, Todd. Maybe that. Aaron was doing a little finish work. Maybe finish editing on that work of friction. All right. Before we go any further, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. And Aaron, we don't say this enough, the first and most recognized industry podcast in the world. And we are always looking for new guests. If you or anyone new you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2, the number 2, Regular Guys, and share your show ideas. And we'll talk about you coming on the show, or just give us ideas of things you'd like us to discuss or our guests that we might bring on the show as well. If you are listening to the podcast version of the show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys with all your industry friends. We would also appreciate a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever you do your podcast listening. We are everywhere, thanks to Aaron. And if you are watching us live right now, please join in with your comments and questions.
Excellent. Yep. We appreciate all the regulators being here. Thank you guys so much for all the comments, questions, and add-ons to the dad jokes even. You know? So we've got that going for us. Real quick, Terry, this week we're brought to you by Impressions Expo. So just wanted to mention again, the next weekend is Atlantic City. So make sure that you're registered for that. So impressionsexpo.com. Want to make sure that we see you out there. And so you're going to see all sorts of great stuff. You know, I know that there will be masks, but you know what? Wear a mask for a day. It's not going to be a big deal. I promise you. My 9-year-old did it all year last year. And so it's possible, right? You can do it.
All right. Aaron, you and I have certainly had some good times working at the Atlantic City shows. I don't want to dig into that because it is 20 after the hour.
Yeah. But yes, we did have some very good times there. Lots of creations came out of that time of our lives too. So, all right, Terry.
Indeed.
Well, let's get Katie in here. We need to get Katie. She's got lots of great info for us. That's what people really showed up for. So, exactly. Gary, will you introduce Katie in, please?
Absolutely. We want to welcome Katie into the Two Regular Guys. Katie Wubin is the owner of Trouble Me Not Embroidery and has been in the apparel industry since age 18 and says she knew nothing about running a business, a business and what it entailed, just like the rest of us. She learned very quickly what while being a self-taught screen printer, and after adding embroidery to the lineup of services, upon many requests from customers, Katie soon found herself enjoying the endless options embroidery brought to the business. It did not take long for Katie to realize that was one of the best decisions she could have ever made. And I think Eric's down there nodding his head yes now. utilizing multimedia to expand creativity has opened many doors within the business. And Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yeah, great to have you here, Katie. So so you got into it at 18. So you've been doing this for 3 years now, and this is going well for you?
Yeah. The first year was rough, and then the other two have been great.
All right. Well,
Katie, once you get that high school diploma out of the way.
So, Katie, I've been fortunate, Terry and Eric and I, we've been fortunate enough to kind of get to know you at the trade show, specifically at DAX. And I know the footprint of the crowds there and kind of, you know, what we're seeing. Obviously, the show footprint's a little bit smaller. The been a few less people as everybody kind of gets back into the swing of things here. But what I also noticed was your booth space has been pretty substantial. You've expanded quite a bit. So why the big change?
Yes. Well, it kind of boils down to a lot of opportunities and doors opening at the same time. And I went from not planning to do any trade shows this year to taking on not only doing them, but then blowing it up and doing them much bigger than we had before, which was really a last minute decision and something I don't regret, but definitely came with a lot of work.
Yeah.
But the size of the space, I mean, I've always liked to have a double booth for the machines and the Mighty Hoops that we represent, just to give our customers space to come in and, you know, experience the products and things like that. But with bringing supplies on, I didn't really know what to expect, and I didn't want it to be, you know, like people stepping on top of each other and not having enough space to put everything out. And with how quick the decision was, I also didn't know how many supplies are we going to have. I unfortunately was not able to secure everything I wanted, but that's okay. You start somewhere and then you grow. So yeah. I've really enjoyed the explosion that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And you said double booth. I thought you had like a quadruple booth at the last deck.
Normal is a double. And so yes, it's beyond that. Yeah. Because the machine and the hoops really kind of take up their own little, you know, their side. Yeah. My friend who's been running the shows with me kind of jokes like, you stay on your side over there with the machines and the hoops and I'll be over here with the supplies. And at certain points we're stretched out so much that we're like, hey.
But yeah, it's like, oh, there's Katie's booth. Oh, we're still walking by Katie's booth. All right, cool.
Awesome. Well, you know, Katie, you don't always get the supplies that you want, but you get the supplies that you need, right?
Right.
To quote our friends at the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. We definitely look forward to adding more things, but my biggest thing was exactly that. You need what you need. And there was a lot of need, gaping holes left in the market because some companies just could not come out to shows this year.
Yeah.
And some aren't crazy enough to do so because you line people up to do it and you don't know if the shows are happening or not. And it's a lot of work to put in. I mean, as you guys know, to plan it, to get the inventory, to go to the show. And then if it's canceled, you've got all that work still done, but nothing to generate the income off of it, which then is devastating. So, and then a lot of companies don't have enough staff to spread that thin. And we're having to jump through hoops to do our normal tasks, let alone the beyond the normal tasks. So it's a challenge definitely for companies to be out there doing these things.
Yeah. Hey, Terry, before you get to the next question for Katie, I wanted to catch a couple of the comments from the regulators here. We got Christine saying, Katie is awesome. Cindy King says, hi, Katie. I met you at Applique Getaway. And Christine shared, big booths are fun and a lot of work. And then Todd says, have heard amazing things about Katie's training classes too. In fact, you've seen me getting trained on embroidery. I actually have 15 whole minutes of embroidery experience. And because my teacher was so amazing, I'm actively looking for work. So if anybody needs an embroidery machine operator, I am available. Anyway, no, I'm kidding.
You could just buy a machine and then you'll just be looking for the work to do.
Yeah, his email signature now says embroidery expert. It's just added to the list.
I'm ready.
Waiting for those new business cards.
All right, Terry. Well, what else do we got for Katie here?
Well, you know, Katie, with all the navigating of all the changes to your business, so what have been some of the biggest challenges that you faced?
I'm going to look at my notes here because there's a few. So I would say the biggest thing is everything needing to happen all at once. You know, it's like we went from 0 to 300 miles an hour in a matter of 1 month. And one of the reasons I hadn't planned on doing shows this year was because the unknowns of what is the show going to look like? Is it going to happen? Those things. But then also Melco just released a new machine model. So that requires my website to be updated, my brochures to be updated, all of that. And that's a lot to do. And it literally happened at the same time that the shows were happening, which I don't think was intentional. I think it was just the cookie crumbled that way. Yeah. And unfortunately, when it all crumbles onto the same plate at the same time, it's hard to deal with that. So that was one of the things, was the fact that I was dealing with a lot of updates anyways. But then on top of that, bringing supplies in, now we've got a whole new level of how am I going to package things? How am I going to label them? How am I going to, where are they coming from? Yeah. And how am I going to display them? And how big of a booth do I need? And how, there's all these questions, and I'm not necessarily a fast decision maker. I like to make a good decision. And this kind of forced me into that uncomfortable, like, you just got to make the decisions and just roll with it. Because there's too much to handle in a matter of a month or two to launch this whole, it felt like I was starting the company all over again.
Yeah.
And I was years in with experience with Trouble Me Not. So I'm glad for that because it helped me kind of know the market well enough to make the decisions swiftly, but I had a lot of help too.
Well, we all look for that, kind of an aside to this, at Equipment Zone in Tempe, Arizona, Phoenix, we had an open house yesterday. Myself, Jay, and Roy, our tech, did this open house, and we got an interesting email from one of the trade show folks who said, "Hey, I see you guys are doing an open house. I knew that you would step up and just get out there again, just start doing these events again, even though you didn't know who's going to show up. You didn't know how it was going to go. It's back to business." And that's kind of what you're doing, Katie. I'm going to step up.
Yep. And I think that's part of it, is not being afraid to do that. It's really, so you guys mentioned I was 18 when I started my firstborn business. And that was, a lot of people were like, "Oh, you really, you were really brave." I'm like, "No, I was really stupid." There's this line of bravery and it's here, and then your stupidity is here, and I'm waddling it like this, Yeah. And it's like, I didn't know what I was doing. And it was unpleasant, to say the least, to be a full-time college student and new business owner. And before the frontal lobe is there, I was a little bit better at taking risks because I didn't have anything to lose. Now it's like, well, if I take a risk and it's a bad choice, it could destroy what I've built. So it is scary.
Yeah.
But you do have to just do it. You got to bash the door open and walk through it.
Yeah. Well, I waited till I was out of college, but I was the same deal. I didn't know any better. And probably if I knew more, I wouldn't have. And it would have been a huge mistake on my part. But I'd like to say, what better way to start a business than armed with a degree in journalism? Yeah. I do a lot of spreadsheets and no, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, these are great tips though, Katie. I mean, people need to hear this kind of stuff, right? And I love, I'm straddling the line between bravery and stupidity. That's what everybody that is a business owner is doing every day. You have to, you have to kind of let that logic side that's saying, oh, I don't know if people are going to show up. I don't know if I could do this. I could lose a lot of money. This could be a problem. You have to let that go and embrace the side of, but what if, right? What if this is going to work out? And yeah. And what about that opportunity? So I think some of the best ways that business owners can look at things is from that, what are the opportunities that I'm missing? Not our, what are the potential failures that I'm running into here? So right. Those are great tips, Katie.
You know, Aaron, let me interject you. Scott Ritter said, hey, I've got a degree in journalism. So apparently Scott and I are the only two people who didn't come into this business from being in a rock band. And, hey, I want to do my own shirt.
Journalism, and then I switched to art.
Oh, well.
See? That's where we just all,
So apparently what we're saying is go out and get your degree in journalism, and then you can come back to the industry and do just fine.
All right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. All right. Beautiful process manuals. And
yes, there you go. Nice. I want to add one other thing, with the scary side of it, because you do have to be brave to do bold things. But one thing I'm really bad at and I'm working on, and this last, I would say, 3 to 6 months of my business growth has required me to step outside my comfort zone and ask for help. You know, instead of just doing it all on my own or being that person that, you know, handles everything, I've had to delegate more than I'm comfortable with. And I've got friends who have stepped up. I don't have staff anymore like I used to pre-COVID. And so literally this has been my mom coming over to my house and helping me package my backings up the way I want. And a friend of mine, I mean, literally, we turned my truck into a mobile office on our way to the Kansas show because we didn't have everything done. So we were putting our SKUs and inventory in the system on hotspot going down the interstate with the truck and trailer. And I wasn't doing it. I was driving, you know, so Amy had that covered. But being able to rely on the people around you who care for your success and recognizing that when you're passionate about something, they are too. Yeah. And I mean, my husband has almost nothing to do with these businesses as far as decision making, and that he's like, you know, it's your business, I don't know anything about it, but he's very supportive, and he's, you know, he's going to support me in ways that I need to be bold and make those decisions. And then I'm gone a lot too, so he's holding the home front while I'm, you know, at the shows and stuff. So
yeah.
Lean on your group, you know.
Yeah Another fantastic tip, Katie. Thank you so much for sharing that. A couple more comments, and then I've got another question for you, Katie. So Eric says, show of hands here, who slid into this world sideways? I think we could probably all raise our hands for that one, right? And then Scott says, I also have a degree in business management, though. So there you go. Christine says, I started out with journalism and ended up with degrees in business and marketing. So there you go. So, and Dale's raising his hand, slid in sideways. Perfect. All right. We got all that. So Katie, I want to know also then what have been some of the big surprises, maybe, you know, kind of the pleasant surprises, the positive side of the challenges.
Well, going back to what I just said, seeing that when I'm passionate about something, how much my people as a herd care for my cause. So how much people were willing to step up and help to make it all happen, because literally at least a year's worth of work happened in probably 2 months.
Yeah.
And it's outstanding. And I couldn't have done that by myself. And it's not, you know, these people aren't getting big paychecks or anything. They're literally just my friends and family saying, hey, what can we do, you know, to help you along the way? And that's helped me, you know, check those things off the list. One of the challenges is accepting where I'm at versus where my vision was for me to be right now, which I totally understood was unrealistic. But to recognize how much got done, how quickly, is really, really super amazing. So that would be one of them. And I would say too, just the, I don't know how to describe it, the need for what I've offered and how we are offering it. I've taken some concepts and I've tried to make everything, you know, like Trouble Me Not embroidery. The whole reason that that's named as it is so that this is easy. We want embroidery to be fun, lucrative, you know, things like that. So what can I do as a supplier to make those things kind of check those boxes of mission that this is an easier path? So people have received it very well, and it's been awesome to see that need is not something that was just in my head, but something that everybody in the embroidery world kind of felt.
Cool. That's great. Yeah. Great tips and advice. Terry, what other questions you got for Katie there?
Well, I was just thinking, Katie, since you, in a matter of just 15 minutes, taught Aaron to be an embroiderer, how has teaching impacted you, and did it give you that itch to keep being an educator? We're big on education here at Two Regular Guys.
You know, as you put it, I started self-taught screen printing. I did everything I could have wrong. And I had some really big failures that were really, really scary failures in my screen print days. And my customers kept asking for embroidery. And I was like, nope, don't want to do it. Want no part of it. If I can screw up with a manual screen printer that badly, I don't think I need a bunch of needles and all this technology to go with it. That's a bad idea. But they kept asking because there's things like fleece, zip ups and things like that, that you just don't screen print on. You don't press heat transfer vinyl onto. And I thought, okay, if my customer base is demanding it, it's something I should at least look at. And one of the requirements that I made before I bought my embroidery machine to add on to that firstborn business was I need to know what I'm doing. I can't teach myself. I need to just, you know, hit the ground running, because now I have a customer base. They're loyal to me. They're asking for this. The last thing I need to do is destroy my customer base I now have because I jump into a new market of things I don't understand. And the machine I bought comes with on-site training. So that was really cool. It wasn't just how to run the machine, but it was how to hoop properly, how to, you know, make backing decisions and how to do all that stuff. And I mean, I really condensed it down, and Aaron's a sponge. So we took 2 days and just like injected.
Yeah.
If, you know, that's what fueled my passion, was going and being taught the right way. Like at DAX, I would go and learn the right way to do things. I would talk to the suppliers that gave that resource and help background to get me doing a really great job. And once I fell in love with the embroidery world and decided to represent a machine and go down that path, it was really just exhilarating to be able to not only light some flames for people, but then also to pour gasoline on those flames. I think Cindy said that she met me at the Applique Getaway, the passion at that show. With that, you know, everybody already had a flame, and we got to like blow it up into a bonfire, which was really cool. So I love, love, love teaching. And it's come from, you know, I started being able to teach everybody who bought a machine from me. I got to go spend days with them. Now I call most of them my good friends because we've bonded well. And, you know, you stay in touch with people that you can connect well with. But then as I brought in supplies, I don't know, this is probably going to show backwards, but the label on here has the backing type, how many are in here, what, you know, is it cutaway, tearaway? Because especially when you're new, it's like, I don't know, at a glance, what is that? And then you're tearing corners to figure it out. And the size and the weight is all right there. It's in a resealable bag so that I don't take this out and wonder later what was that stack. Especially when you're new. I mean, even though I've been doing embroidery a long time now, I might still question what weight is that backing if it's out of the bag. And I also have a list of suggested uses on here for what kinds of things this backing is appropriate for, because a lot of people think one size fits all. Well, that'd be like saying one ink can print every shirt. That's just not true.
Right.
And then it has tips for success, you know, different things that you might consider. And then there's a QR code on most of our products that you can scan and watch a video about how to use that product. And then a restock QR code, because one of the things I found very irritating, and I still do in a lot of different areas, I wish all suppliers would just make it simple and be on the user end before they go and put their sites together. When you go to restock a backing and you have to sift through, maybe you've narrowed it down to 2 ounce backing. Well, now I've got 2 ounce soft cut, 2 ounce Profit, 2 ounce. Okay, where is the one I want? And where is the size I want? Yeah. And so on our site, it's not live yet with the supplies, but we're just finishing some details and then it will be. You scan the restock order. It takes you to the page where this backing is at. And then there's a drop-down menu for all the sizes that are available.
Wow.
So it's very user-friendly because a user designed it. You know, it wasn't a corporate person that said, oh, this is how a site should function. Because that's all fine and dandy, but it needs to function well for the user too. Yeah. And then beyond that, we have the price per sheet in there too. So it makes pricing the finished goods that much easier, because of course those are all the tasks that you don't get paid for. You don't get paid to go build your inventory. You don't get paid to figure out the price of the garment, you know. And once you're efficient at it, you're getting a raise because it was a cost that you had to pay for. So why not do it more fast, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, that's fantastic. So coming at it from that user perspective, really, I think changes the game, and that brings, well, and in that, you know what education people need, you know, and you know how to break it down that some goofy guy can 15 minutes later actually push the button.
And I made him do everything. I didn't do it for him.
That is true. But I felt confident and comfortable doing it. That was the great part. You know, I knew that I was doing everything. And I know that we obviously had a few shortcuts to be able to get it done in 15 minutes. But yes, we are just joking. I know that my 15 minutes experience are not enough. But that opportunity to learn and from somebody that was passionate about it really was kind of cool. So P.S. thanks, Christine, for filming that too. That was fun.
Right. We got to get her to do that next.
Yeah.
Well, I love the packaging about suggested usage and things like that, because, you know, you go to so many websites where, okay, here are 15 options. You know, if you're a newbie, well, which one is the right one? And, you know, of course, Eric will tell me exactly, oh, this one works with everything. Right, Eric? Eric's like going to push his button and join the show now. Stop saying things like that.
Yeah. So Katie, actually, before we do that, Terry, Goose has got a comment here. Could you read it? I can't see all of it from how far away it is from me. There we go. Thank you.
Let me drag that over. Let's see. Okay. There it is. Yeah. what ways you drive to get so deep involved in the embroidery, not just stay at step one and so early in life? Love it. And so basically he's asking us, you know, what was your motivation to keep going?
Well, I would say the creative side of me took this egg and then kind of just smashed it and exploded it, because I realized that I could do multimedia stuff and I could do double-sided applique and I could do all this really, really different, like really cool stuff. And nobody does that. Nobody does that. I'm told all the time, like, where did you come up with that? Nobody does that. Well, that's because it's my ability to take a concept and then blow it up. So I think that realizing that not everyone has that ability, there's a need for it. And I really, really fell in love with the machine that I use. And that made me recognize there's opportunities there to share not only the machine, but then also the techniques that I've come up with. And being able to teach classes, I don't know how many of my tree crew are watching from the applique getaway. We have a tree crew now there, and Cindy might be part of it. I don't know. But anyways, being able to inspire people to use some of those techniques and to not just do embroidery, but to actually love it, is what made me continue on that path and what makes me evolve and want to stay continuing on that path, because it's really, really fun to teach and inspire people.
Well, I want to speak for every listener right now who was listening to you say, now you take this egg, and every single one of us thought you were going to say, and you nurture it. No, you smash it.
Yeah. I'm kind of a violent person.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to steal that. Scott Ritter follows with, because Katie never stops at mediocrity. So I love that. I'm about that too. It's all about getting all the details right and not just doing the minimum possible. It's going all the way.
I hate to actually say this because it's really just unpleasant to admit to the world, but I'm going to just say it because I think that the real side of life needs to be represented. There's a lot of really junky looking, awful embroidery out there in the world. And what? That's part of what made me not want to do it. Yeah. I was like, why would I want to produce something that's all wrinkled up and like, it's not pleasant looking at all. Why would I want to produce something like that? That would totally not fit what my business does. And then I realized, well, that's because a lot of people don't know what they're doing. Yeah. You know, it's not that they can't make beautiful work. It's that they don't know how, and they actually don't realize how good it can look with the right tension or the right, you know, different backing choices and things like that.
Yeah. And then they, you know, need to then take that extra effort to, you know, do the samples, to test things out and try all that. Everybody wants to come in and just have this magic.
But that's really, really obnoxious to have to do.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and that's why it doesn't get done. And that's where I've spent countless hours. And I showed, you know, you have to be vulnerable and willing to say, I'm not rocking this, to improve. And that's uncomfortable sometimes. So as long as your customers are writing the check, you know, sometimes people just do what they've got to do to get through the day, and and they don't take the time to experiment. So that's where if you can kind of connect the dots for people a little bit more so that they don't have to go through that rigmarole of which choice do I even make and which one is affecting my work in the most negative way? Because there's three different things that could cause this. So which one is it?
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. And like you say, it's all about those phases, right? You gotta be willing to admit that it's not great and move forward, you know. And we do. We all go through those gradients of where do I start? How do I do this? You know, I mean, in the time that I got to spend with you embroidering, I was at that gradient where I just didn't want to hurt myself, and you made sure I didn't hurt myself, you know. So that now next time it's like, okay, well, how could we make this run faster, run better, you know, and just keep building on those gradients. And so that's why you're
processing. A workstation not at a trade show would be an improvement for efficiency. I will go there.
Yeah. All right.
Well, as I watched the video, I just was waiting and thinking, will he be able to push the buttons for the show with a big bandage on his hand?
So, fortunately, we got Eric.
We have Eric for that, exactly.
So your worries
were gone.
Nobody
got
right?
hurt.
Yeah.
Everyone left it emotionally and physically well.
Yeah,
no podcasters were injured in the making of this video.
I love it. All right. Well, so Katie, as you've navigated this changing landscape and everything that's going on for you, I'd love to know what the number one lesson you learned is. How can our listeners and the decorators of the world out there, how can they learn from that lesson? So share with us what's been the number one lesson for you.
I would say dream big. You know, don't think that a dream is too big because you can always grow into it. Christine had told me, you know, I should have done this a long time ago because I'm really good at, you know, inspiring people. And when I sell a machine, I send the customer to someone to buy the products because they need the dots connected. And I said, but I would have fallen on my face had I done it all at one time because I didn't, then I wouldn't have known anything about any of it and how to set a booth up and how to, you know, so dream big, but be willing to grow into it, because it wasn't that I never thought about selling supplies. It was just that it wasn't the right time, but eventually you can grow into it. And then, you know, to not be afraid to evolve. One thing I did in my firstborn business is I would set the 1 month goal, the 3 month goal, the 6 month goal, the 10 year goal, you know, and everything in between. And I would get so fixated on that target of the 10 year goal that a new opportunity would come and I would bypass around it because I'm still on the target for this goal. Yeah. Well, the problem is that might've been a really, really solid opportunity that I just blazed right by, not realizing it's okay to detour and change the target. So dream big, but then be willing to evolve and change the target as you go, and realize that sometimes you might not even see how wonderful something could be until it's presented to you. So that's probably the biggest thing.
That's awesome. That's a great lesson. I think that, you know, like I said, dreaming big, and I'm not going to get it right now because I'm overthinking it here. But my favorite quote by Michelangelo is something to the effect of the fact that if you don't dream big, that the biggest challenge for us is that sometimes we set our goals too low and we achieve them, not that we set our goals too high and miss them. So that is great. But then, like you said, having that ability to say, okay, I'm fixated, I'm working, I'm passionate about that goal, but understand that you have to kind of review it along the way and know when, maybe that goal isn't exactly as clear as I thought. Maybe I need to go in a different direction, or maybe this new opportunity has presented itself, and to be open to that.
Or you find a new strength, like, hey, I actually rock the embroidery thing that I really, 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 really didn't want any part of.
That's right. Yeah, I was just going to tell Terry and Eric, actually, this is going to be my last show. I'm starting my embroidery business. So I got to really, no, I'm just kidding. Not happening. I did not find that new strength, but I enjoyed the heck out of it. So, All right, Terry, what's next for Katie here?
I just want to ask Katie, so what eggs are you going to be breaking in the future? What's on the horizon for Trouble Me Not?
Well, there's a lot of plans. How soon, I don't know. But one of the things is to get the final touches made so that we can have supply orders coming in on our website, because that is not done yet. And it's close, but it's not done yet. And I don't want to pull the trigger on it until it's actually functional. So that's why it's not done yet. But it's very, very close. And most of the videos are there. There's a few more videos to be edited and put up. I kind of tapped out at a certain point of editing videos and getting all of them shot and getting all of them done and getting the site built. And I just was like, okay, now that trade shows are full swing, I kind of got to just accept that that's okay to let it rest for a bit.
Yeah.
And then my goal is to get that done soon. And then another one is to add specialty embroidery techniques to the website and have either a subscription base. Most likely it'll be a subscription or a tutorial, you know, paper view type of thing, where you want to learn how to do double-sided applique. Here's a video that walks you through step by step. So it takes some of those classroom setting things that I've done, but it makes them available to anybody, anywhere, anytime. And does it in a step-by-step basis so that they could actually do the project at their store, their home, whatever, wherever they're working from, yeah, as they go. So that, because one of the worst things to do is go and get inspired and then to never use that technique, right?
Yeah.
You leave the classroom, yeah, and you're like, how did that go? What was that? And your notes don't make sense because it's 6 months later.
Yeah.
So that's another one. And then I'm also working on launching some of my own artwork. And I'm working with someone who's digitizing those for me, because I can't, it's kind of one of those, I had to accept that this is going to be a 5 or 10 year thing instead of a next year thing if I don't just delegate some of it. And I found a digitizer that works very well with me. We communicate effectively and all that stuff. So I've been pushing some artwork his way so that he can start to digitize some of the double-sided applique designs and back-sided applique, because when I say those terms, most people are like, come again? What does that mean? And even somebody who knows how to digitize might not know what that means or how to do that. Yeah. So it was important to find somebody to work with on that. So hopefully we'll have some of those artwork downloads ready within 6 months or sooner would, yeah, be my goal.
Nice.
Super.
Awesome. So in fact, I think you answered one of Goose's questions here. He says, Katie, do you have a Zoom class? So it sounds like coming soon.
It's, you know, what'll happen is instead of on Zoom, it will be, well, for right now anyways, I have thought about doing a class where it's a live class where people could come into a classroom setting and then interact with each other as well, because there's always that, oh, they came up with a question that I did, you know, I needed to know that, but I didn't, sure, I didn't know I needed to know it.
Yep.
And I'd love to do that at some point, but that'll be down the line after I get the just video led tutorials up. And those will be most likely available through the website only. Okay. When I do that, I'll try to make posts on Facebook. I'm terrible at making regular posts on Facebook because I'm always trying to get everything done. And, yeah, you know, that's important too, but it doesn't always happen. Yeah. But when we do release the artwork and get some of those tutorials and things up, I will be making Facebook posts about them on the Trouble Me Not page.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. And then, Eric says, you mean you can't auto-digitize and let it rip with a dryer sheet for stability? How many times have we fought that, right?
Right, yeah. No, embroidery supplies are meant to touch your garments and other ones aren't. And yes, yeah, no, auto everything is just not good. Humans are better.
Nice. All right, Katie. So how can people find you? I know you said you're working on the website, but they can find you there too. But and I also know that you're going to be at DAX next week. But yeah, just give people all the ways they can get in touch with you and reach out or learn about your company. You mentioned your Facebook page, all that stuff for us, please.
Yeah, the best one is probably the Trouble Me Not Facebook page, Trouble Me Not Embroidery. Not is K-N-O-T. Obvious reasons there. And that's probably the best, because especially if you're wanting content, I wouldn't hesitate to throw me a message on there or something, because when I know people are eager for things, it makes me work a little bit faster and harder on them. And then the website is live. It's troublemenot.com. And it is live, but it's not, it's missing that supply end of things. And it's missing a few videos and things that are supposed to be there, because not only did I decide it needed to be updated, but I decided to change platforms because of the changes that were happening to the business. So
yeah, why not?
I had to rebuild everything, you know, kind of transfer everything over, but then also add things because I'm a perfectionist and I realized, hey, this could actually be done a lot better. From awesome. You know, the years ago that I did the original site.
So
those are the primary ways to, you know, and I love seeing people at the shows and in classes. I'll be doing a night shift class at the DAX show, so if you want to spend 3 hours with me, it's a lot, but Friday night, grab food at the after party real quick and then come and hang with me and learn basic embroidery techniques, you know, talking about when to use what needles where and what backings to use and things like that. Kind of your, some of it is probably fairly basic and boring, but I try to liven it up and make it not boring. So far, I've been told I do well with that.
Good. Awesome.
Nice. Yeah. So we look forward to seeing you there in Tinley Park. I don't know. I know they all kind of tend to run together, but, and you'll be easy to find because I know you got a nice big booth again, but you don't happen to know the booth number. You don't happen to know your booth number off the top of your head, do you?
Not off the top of my head. That would have been something good for me to know.
No, it, like I said, you'll find her. The show floor in Tinley is bigger than the others so far, but you'll find her there. Maybe Scott is live in there here still and can.
Yeah, he might have it.
Point that out. So
yeah.
And then if you find
he's yelling over to Margie right now.
Where did we put her? There you go.
There you go. Booth 201. Eric is on top of it as usual. Booth 201 is where you'll find Katie. Find her at those places online. All that other stuff. Katie, thank you so much for your time today and all this great information that you shared. I think people can get a lot out of this if they really take it in. So we appreciate your time here today.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Katie. Good deal. Great information, Aaron. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, not only we get to learn about everything she's going through, but if you think about the steps and the process, right? I mean, she clearly laid it out. She had a big dream. She started with what she felt like she could tackle, you know, just doing what she could do, growing it, building it, listening to her customers, right? Her customers kept saying, we want embroidery. We want embroidery. Well, guess what? You got to listen to them, right? Maybe not the first person that comes and says, hey, can you do this? And you just jump right into it because one guy said they want one thing. But if they continue to ask you for these things, you have to listen and then just continue growing from there. And facing fears, conquering them, all that kind of fun stuff. So,
right.
Which leads us nicely into five things here, Terry. Are we ready for five things?
I believe we are. Hit the music.
All right, take us there, Eric. All right, Terry. So for today, I want to share five things that will help you conquer fear. So number one is realize that fear is just an acronym. Fear stands for fantasized experience appearing real. So fear is just a belief about a future outcome. And so if once we realize that, we can move forward. Secondly, you want to say this specific phrase when you're thinking about your fear. So say this specific phrase in your head, and it is, I scare myself by imagining ... whatever the fear is, right? Number three is to then realize what is reality. What's actually happening? If I'm scaring myself by imagining something, then let's think about reality. All the way down to just the basics of, you know, I'm wearing a blue shirt, I'm standing in front of a camera. What is really going on? And then number four, now imagine the best possible outcome. So if we can imagine all of the fears and failures and our plane crashing or, you know, the snake biting you or whatever the fear is, how about we instead imagine that the plane gets there safely, I have a great time on my vacation, yada, yada, yada. I, you know, am able to take the leap and start my business or do something new in my business or go on the live video and people are going to be excited. So imagine the best possible outcome. And then number five is feel the fear and do it anyways. Just lean into it. Do one small step at a time and just continue to expand your comfort zone. So there are my five things on how to conquer fear.
I love it. Good job.
Thank you. Let's see here. Cindy says the class I took from Applique Gateway with Katie was fantastic. So another testimonial there. Todd says, I guess that means the after hours needs to go till at least 10 so Katie can stop over. Absolutely. Go ahead, Terry.
I was just going to say, so this is the kind of thing I think about while we're doing our show. I'm thinking about Katie's business name, Trouble Me Not. And I think that's a great business name. And I started thinking about when you and Todd, before you came up with our success group, the business name of Stop Harshing My Business Plan. And it didn't really roll off the tongue.
Yeah, but it was close. It was so close. That was right there on the start of it. Yeah, yeah. Stop harshing my business plan. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
America and the rest of the world, Eusta, those are the things that I just ponder all the time.
You get a little insight into who Terry is. And this is what I know and love about Terry. So
the frightening insight.
Yeah, yeah. All right, real quick, back to the after hours party that's happening over at Buffalo Wild Wings. So, yeah, you know how it goes, Terry. As a famous rapper once said, after the party is the after party, and the after party don't stop. So,
well, my seminar is on Friday morning, so all good.
And that famous rapper is not E Rich, by the way. Just
so. Oh, yeah, but I think E Rich was spinning some of his tunes, so
yeah,
last right, night.
Dale says, never be afraid to let's see here. Never be afraid to step into your fear zone. I love that, Dale. Thank you. And but I will repeat it. Okay. Yes, he will repeat it. I like it, Eric. Thank you. All right, Terry. Well, what's coming up for you? What's on the agenda and Terry's big book of travels here?
Terry's big book of travel. It's right here, everybody. So first of all, Aaron, I'd like to thank you for using the analogy of my plane crashing, because I am leaving this afternoon on a plane for my
best possible outcome, Terry. You got it.
Arriving successfully in Chicago. All right. Yeah. So I have a sold out complete screen printing business course at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago this weekend. My next class in Chicago is November 6th and 7th. Next week, as along with everybody here we're talking to, I'll be at the DAC Chicagoland. Up Friday, August 27th from 8:30 till 12, I'm going to be doing a seminar, Am I Doing This Right? Pro Tips for Screen Printing. And my next class here in Phoenix is going to be at Workhorse Products on October 23rd and 24th. And just a heads up, if you're thinking about coming to Phoenix in October, which is a perfect time to come to Phoenix, that class is filling up. So you can find all my events at terrycombs.com under the tab Tour Dates. How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, October in Phoenix is a fantastic time. The heat is finally gone. And normally, you know, in other places, the snow might actually start be flying. So that's the way I've always looked at it. As soon as the snow starts flying somewhere else, probably when everybody shows up in Phoenix. So
yeah.
All right. For me, Terry, We're in the home stretch of our introductory price of the 5 keys of business success, growing and launching. This I've got on screen behind me right here. So the introductory price of $197 is only good through the end of the month. You'll get training resources to help you determine and manage your overhead, price your products for profit, set up workflows to get your time back. So you actually have a little bit of time back as an entrepreneur. And what else we got here? We're going to help you create loyal fans through a customer service plan and that delivery and follow-up phase, and then build a marketing strategy that'll actually work as opposed to that spray and pray method that a lot of people normally start out with. So this is a whole business foundation. It's training modules. It's action steps. It's resources and tools, all packaged up into this nice little package, and you can find that at oursuccessgroup.com/5keys, and that will get you there. So that's what we've got kind of coming up. And then one other thing when it comes to that, Terry, I'm just really curious to know what might be holding people back from making that investment. I don't want you to share what's holding you back, so that way I can argue with you and try to talk you out of it. It has nothing to do with that. But for me, it's all about supporting the industry and providing resources that that people will be able to better their businesses from. So without that knowledge, I don't know what to do. So I guess my ask of you guys is to reach out to me directly. You can find me on Facebook, or you can find me through the Two Regular Guys. I handle most of the incoming communication stuff there. And just let me know what stopped you from making that investment. Do you not feel like it's the right thing for you because of? And then to kind of encourage that a little bit, Terry, everybody that gives me feedback before the end of the month, I'm actually going to enter them into a drawing, and somebody will win a $100 Visa gift card from us.
Nice. So, I suddenly have some thoughts on that.
Okay, exactly. So you'll send that over, Terry. I will put you into that drawing, and we'll do the drawing on September 1st, the day after the end of the month. So, nice. Yeah. So, I'm just curious. I need to know to better my business, and I need to know to be able to better help your business. So that's that part. And then last but not least, here in now I have to do math again. Whatever. At 11, at 11:30 Central Time. Oh gosh, I'm not even gonna try. Eric and I will be doing what we call the half, and it is a wide open Q&A session. And it's really finally the first time, and probably ever only time in Eric and I's life that we're on time and we don't go into bonus time like we are right now here on the Two Regular Guys. So you can catch that show happening if you want to catch it on YouTube. You can go to liveosg.com. That'll take you directly to the Our Success Group YouTube page. Or if you're already on YouTube and you're there, you can search Eric Campbell, E-R-I-C-H, Campbell, and then make sure you're subscribing there at Eric Campbell. And that way you'll get notifications of all these things. So you check that out if you're a YouTube person. Or if you would prefer to catch that on Facebook, you can find Our Success Group at Our Success Group Pro there on Facebook, or just type in Our Success Group and you'll be able to find it. Or again, search for Eric, E-R-I-C-H, Campbell, and you can find it on any four of those locations here in about, 23 minutes. I think I did the math okay there. All right,
you got it, man.
So that's what I've got going on. Speaking of Eric, I'll go ahead and share here, Terry.
Okay.
He has got the take up coming up at 2:30 Mountain Time. And today is episode number 80. Q&A, 5 scaling machine embroidery stock thread selections and backgrounds. I know I didn't do that justice, Eric. I apologize. But scaling machine embroidery, stock thread selection and backgrounds. That's better. So Eric is going to answer questions about scaling designs, the right thread for you, and breaking up background elements. So if you'll head over to Eric Campbell, E-R-I-C-H, Campbell.com, and click the take up tab at the top for the playlists. And you can catch all the back episodes as well, all 79 previous episodes and all that kind of fun stuff. So check that out. But make sure you show up live to ask questions, interact. Eric is fantastic. And here's a great part about this, Terry, is what makes Eric so good, is that he does this entirely by himself. He's got the full setup. He's doing all the board work, the whole nine. It's incredible to watch. I enjoy getting over there just to see if I can mess him up a little bit, but he doesn't waver. He doesn't falter. all right. So that's happening 2:30 Mountain Time. Check that out. And then you can catch Eric's recorded seminar called Understanding Emblems, Digitizing Production Styles and Sales. It's all about patches. So it's now available as a recording. You can check it out at decorators.education/emblems. And a great resource if you're at all interested in patches. I mean, it covers the entire gamut. I was fortunate enough to get to be there when he presented it live. And wow, he covered so much ground. Again, even with my 15 minutes of embroidery experience, I felt like I could do patches after that. And then Eric is also going to be teaching out live in the world here at DAC Chicago coming up, called Elevate Your Embroidery Digitizing. And you can get details for that at daxshow.com. He'll also be appearing at the Impressions Expo Fort Worth to teach specifically a specialty thread, design, digitizing, and marketing. And you can also find him appearing on the Elements of Excellence embroidery panel. So check that out at Impressions Expo for the upcoming Fort Worth show. So that's everything that we've all got going on there, Terry. So unless we missed anything, I think we've come to the close here.
Come to the close of another show.
Yes, indeed. We've been able to get there once again. Amazing. So we want to thank Katie Wubin from Trouble Me Not Embroidery. Really appreciate all of her time and great information. It was so well done. So thank you so much, Katie, for being here. We appreciate it.
And we want to thank our show producer, Eric Campbell, for all he does behind the scenes, and especially for not shutting off my microphone when I said there's one backing you can use for all substrates. Sorry, Eric, I was just kidding.
I could see his finger on the button there, Terry.
I'm going to do it.
Yes. Thank you very much, Eric. We appreciate it all the time. So next week, we're going to be coming to you from the DAX Chicagoland show, actually the day before, because of Terry's teaching schedule. I'm going to be on the show floor at 10 a.m. and whatnot. So Thursday night. So instead of being Friday at our normal time, we're actually going to be live on Thursday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. And so make sure that you're tuned in for that. And we're going to be talking about DAX, about what Terry's teaching. We're going to have Eric there with us. We're going to see if we can get all of us actually in the same room on one camera. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
See what happens. After 6 p.m., so there's normally beer.
Yeah, and there will be beer there, absolutely. So we're gonna get into that, and we'll talk about, again, what Terry's teaching coming up the next morning. Am I doing this right? And just really kind of talk about the entire experience that we'll be having there at DAX. So make sure you're tuned in for that Thursday at 6 p.m. this time. All right? So, Terry, you got it? Thursday, 6 p.m.?
Absolutely. Hoping to see lots of you folks there, and certainly looking forward to seeing you, Aaron and Eric, at the show as well. But Aaron, until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the Two Regular Guys.
Here we go. We're out. Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.